Genesis 22 is where you should turn this morning because we're eventually going to get there. But I want to talk about this morning the father of Israel, Abraham. In many of the most important New Testament passages of Scripture, we find Abraham. You're going to see that as we go through this morning. He's an Old Testament saint, but he's mentioned many times in contexts that specifically address our salvation in the New Testament. And so we want to use at least one example of this to start. In Romans chapter 3, he's an example of faith in Romans chapter 3, as in several, maybe many other places. But I just want to read for you Romans chapter 3 and show you what I mean. Very well-known passage of Scripture right at the beginning, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Very well-known passage of Scripture that we would think about in terms of salvation, that we would mention and bring up if we were witnessing to someone, if we were trying to give the gospel out. This is a place where we may end up regarding our salvation. Verse 27 of Romans 3, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And now we have this example of Abraham as a person of faith. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God that shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. That's Jews and Gentiles. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. So we're talking about the justification that we have by faith without the works of the law. And we're talking about those who are of Israel, the Jews, and those who are not of Israel, the Gentiles, and both being saved or justified by faith. This is where Abraham is brought into it. Chapter 4, verse 1, which says this, "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." So not only do we have Abraham brought in by virtue of the fact that he is the father of this nation of Israel, and when it talks about salvation, it talks about salvation coming to both the circumcision and the uncircumcision, or Jews and Gentiles, but it also mentions him by name, and it says something about him that is said and repeated in the Scripture, and that he was justified in that he had faith, in that he believed God. He's important in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. So that's why we want to talk about him. And so during any explanation in the New Testament of our salvation, we may often find the name Abraham. Even at those times in history, in the history of the New Testament church, where we find that some were either believing or even teaching another gospel, we again find the name of Abraham brought forth as an example. So we have a situation in the book of Galatians in which people are being told to believe that they ought to practice the works of the law as part of their salvation. And again, Abraham is brought in that situation. Verse 5 of Galatians 3 says, "He therefore that minister to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham?" Here we have a similar thought to the one we've talked about in previous weeks, where we were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, and now we've been brought into the heritage of Israel, the same way that it says here. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So it's saying, not only those who are Jewish, but you're brought under the same family as Abraham, in that anyone who has faith in God, as Abraham did, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is brought into the same family. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Perhaps that's not something we think of too often, is that the gospel was preached unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." This is a prophecy that we've mentioned multiple times in here, that God said to Abraham, "In your lineage will all the nations of the earth be blessed," and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel being preached unto Abraham. "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Our blessing in salvation is a blessing that was foretold so many times before. You could go back to before Abraham, in that time just after the sin in the garden, where the promise was made where the head of the serpent would be crushed by the seed of the woman. But then if you go forward to Abraham, you see in even more clear terms that through the lineage of this man will come the Messiah, who will bless all the nations of the earth. So in Abraham, we see a man who takes God at his word. And that's indeed what we're asking those who come to know Christ to do, to take God at his word. We're telling them to respond in the same way that Abraham responded in that day. God makes promises, and Abraham simply believes. God says, "Do," and Abraham simply believes, and he does. And that's what we're asking of people today when we teach them about the gospel. And there's stories of Abraham in the Old Testament that would illustrate this. One that we want to start with is in Genesis chapter 15, when we're looking at the father of Israel. Verse 1 of Genesis 15 says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And if we jump down to verse 5, it says, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness." And so what it says about Abraham in the New Testament is exactly what was recorded for us in his encounter with God, starting in Genesis 12 and then continuing here in Genesis 15. And it says always that he believed. His whole story, in essence, is one of faith. And it's a story that any Christian who makes an impact for God must also have. You understand what I'm saying there? Anyone who hopes to have, who hopes to do the things that God wants them to do, who hopes to make the impact that God wants them to make, will have to have a story of faith. It will not simply be a story of talent. It will not simply be a story of accomplishment. It will not be a story of great acts. Not alone. It will not be a story of self-motivation. It's not going to be a story of being gifted in a great way and therefore being able to do. Those things are all helpful. Our talents and our hard work and our perseverance and our good attitudes, those things are all helpful. And those things are oftentimes part of the story. Great works are often part of the story. They certainly are with Abraham. But our story must be a story of faith. And it must primarily be a story of faith. Because the Christian's journey always begins with faith. There is no Christian journey without it, by the way. For if we have no faith in God, we have no testimony of salvation in Christ. So our story always, always starts with faith, as Abraham's story starts with faith. But it always continues in faith, and it must always continue in faith. And if we want to see examples of faith, Abraham is certainly one that we can take. This example of full reliance upon God is one we see in Genesis chapter 22. Now, it's a danger addressing a passage like this or many of those that we encounter in the Old Testament scriptures about Israel, in that they are very familiar passages, and they're passages that we think we know. But I can't remember a time when I've looked at this one in particular and not felt afterwards that it was brand new. And that was the case when I was looking at it for this study this morning. This story relayed about how God required something of Abraham, something that was very difficult, and how he responded to this difficult command. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 22, if you've turned there. Just read the first two verses to start us. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. If when you read this, you begin to put yourself in the place, perhaps of Abraham, and you read words like this, take your only son, who you love, and offer him for a burnt offering, you begin to see immediately why this story continues to have impact. Because all of us, no matter whether we have a son or even an only son, all of us can relate to how Abraham must have been reacting, perhaps emotionally, and at least in his own mind. We're seeing that. And we're seeing the difficulty of the command. We see that immediately. But I have to tell you that over the years, I've begun to look at the command in a little bit different way. No doubt it's a difficult command from a human perspective to deal with. especially also if you're considering the circumstances that Abraham was in and the promises that he had already received. So the Lord is saying, take this son, the son of promise, in whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and from whom there will be this great congregation of people, your nation, that'll be numbered in the same way that the sand is on the seashores or the stars are in the sky. Take this only son and offer him for a burnt offering. So especially when you think about all that. But we also have to recall some words from the New Testament. Some words from the New Testament that tell us some things about, more about Abraham, but also about God. I looked at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, talking to Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So we have Abraham confronted with this command, a command that says, make this sacrifice of your only son. And yet when we recall these New Testament words where it talks about this son who would be the final sacrifice, who would be the only sufficient sacrifice, we get a little bit different perspective. Romans 8 could talk to us about this. It says, what shall we say then about these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And when we look forward to the New Testament, we see this in a slightly different light. And we say, aha, Abraham is being told to do something that God was not only willing to do himself, but would indeed do himself. And somehow there's a little bit different perspective on us when we are on this story, when we see that. And all the emotion is still there, and all the difficulty is still there, and all the hardship is still there. But we can see that God, who would, spoiler alert, deliver Isaac in this instance, would spare not his own son. And so looking ahead helps. Back to Genesis 22 and verse 3. Genesis 22, verse 3. So this is the command that he's given. And the next thing we see is Abraham rising up early in the morning. And he saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering. And he rose up, and he went unto the place of which God had told him. So Abraham is immediately and fully obedient, and he is prepared to make this sacrifice. He's prepared to make it. And this is not just a show. This is not just a show. He intended to do what God commanded. I've even heard somebody say before, well, I'm not so sure he intended to do it. Maybe he just was, well, God believed he intended to do it. If you're to go forward to Hebrews chapter 11, It says this to us: by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. When he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So what God says about it is, yes, this was Abraham's intent to do this, believing that God was able to raise him up from the dead. Now, that's important. That's really important. Because as we're looking at Abraham and Abraham's life and the story of Abraham, and we're seeing this, we must look forward to the sacrifice of Christ. And we must look forward to that time when this final sacrifice would be made. And when the only begotten Son of God would not only die in our place, but would also be raised up from the dead. And Abraham believed God could do that. I mean, in essence, we have all of the pieces of the gospel being believed by Abraham at this time. God, I understand that in me, all the nations of the earth will be blessed in this son, Isaac, and I'm looking forward to a time when that will happen. And if I make the sacrifice of my son, Isaac, here, you are able even to raise him up because your purposes will be accomplished. And I believe that. And what do we ask people today to believe in the gospel? What proposal are we giving them? To believe in the fact that Jesus Christ died in our place and that he was a perfect, sinless sacrifice for our sins, and he was the only sacrifice for our sins. And we ask at that time for them, we plead with them to put their faith in him, for he died and was indeed raised from the dead. And that God did in that sacrifice, and that Jesus was at that time the just payment for our sin. And we say, believe God. Believe God. And we're calling to them, like using Abraham, we could, if we chose to, using Abraham as an example of simple belief in God. He came to this event believing, and that which he believed at that time is consistent with our belief in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God having delivered him, his only son, up for us, who died and was buried and rose again from the dead. Verse 4 of Genesis 22. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. This text is consistent with the Hebrews 11 declaration, in that Abraham says, we will go and we will return. It's consistent with that, because if he indeed intended to carry out the sacrifice as God asked, and if he also said that we will return, it means even in his telling of his servant, we will go and we will return, is evidence of that belief that he has. We will go and we will return. And so now he goes to the place where God has told him to go, that he's seen afar off. And he goes there believing. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it upon Isaac his son. and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? This is where you really have to start to consider the interaction and put yourself in this place. Perhaps in the position of Abraham, perhaps even in the position of Isaac, and consider the weight that was being borne at this time by both of them. As Abraham has been told to do this, to carry out this act. And this is about the time where we start thinking about the humanity of the people that are in the story. And not forgetting that they were like us. And not forgetting all the emotions that would have come about. And all the fleshly reactions, no doubt, that would have come about. And all the things that would have been felt and thought at this time. And we realize that when things are felt and thought that come from the flesh, despite that, we can go on believing and continue. And that's what would happen. They would go on and continue. Consider what Isaac must have been thinking and feeling. Both of them together, and yet both proceed. And there's evidence of belief. And then in verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. There was a total reliance upon God displayed here that's worth noting. Because whatever happens, God will have to do it. That's what Abraham is saying here. Whatever happens, God will have to do it. God will provide himself a lamb. Whatever is to happen from this point, we have to be in reliance upon God for it. Have you been to a place like that? Where you say, whatever happens from here, either out of necessity or out of determination, sometimes it's a necessity because there's nothing you could do if you wanted. But other times it's out of determination because there's many things you could perhaps do and choose to rely upon God. But where you have come to a place where you could say, where you have said, whatever happens from here on, God, you'll have to do it. Human thinking would insist the exactly the opposite thing. Perhaps human thinking would insist to obtain a just outcome in this situation, Abraham has to take action. Think about telling this to someone who is resistant of the gospel and perhaps hostile to the gospel. Telling them that Abraham has come to a place where he's going to sacrifice his only son. They say, no, maybe they don't know the story. And they may say, no, you still have time, Abraham, to get out of this. All you have to do, because, you know, humans can decide their own destiny, someone may foolishly say. All you have to do, Abraham, is just hold back. You don't have to do this. Don't go through with it. If you step in, everything will be fine. You have hands, you have feet, you have a brain, you can carry that wood out, and you can stop. Perhaps we say that to ourselves. Perhaps God says, do this. And we say, I can't foresee the outcome. I can't see how this would work out. But if I do something, everything will be okay. But that's not the case at all for Abraham. He says, God will do something. I will just do what God wants, and God will do something. It's not about my strength and my hands and my feet and my thinking and my doing and me being the author of my own destiny. That's not it. I will rely on God. And so we may think to ignore and to disobey and to not follow through is certainly the way forward, because perhaps we cannot foresee, as Abraham foresaw, the resurrection of the dead, from the dead, of his son. And perhaps there will come a time when we don't know the end of the story. And we don't know what will happen. And we say, well, if I step in, I can fix this. And God will say, no. Proceed. Obey. And I must do something. I must do something. So Abraham believes God, even when he still has time to back out. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son. And he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. We can recall those words in Hebrews 11, accounting that God would also raise him up. And when he accounted that God would raise him up, he stretched forth his hand with that in mind. But God does indeed do something. Because in verse 11, it says, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Every moment along the way, God confirming that Abraham indeed did believe him. Now I know that thou fearest God. God fully confirming his intention and the true testimony of Abraham's heart. And he had not withheld that which was most dear to him. He had not withheld his son of promise. Or he did at that moment take everything that was his hope for the future, and he offered it freely to the Lord. Let me just say that again, because I'm afraid I messed that up. He takes everything at that moment that was his hope for the future, which was his son and his lineage and everything, and he had offered it freely to the Lord. But I have to tell you this. He had offered it freely to the Lord, who is faithful. And somebody may say, I have to offer everything to the Lord. I mean everything. You mean not just kind of put the Lord first place in some of the stuff I'm doing? No, not just put the Lord first place in some of the stuff you're doing. Give absolutely everything the dearest to you, to him. He's faithful. He's faithful. And Abraham lift up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Consistent with God's character, he provides, sparing Abraham's son, and at that same time knowing that he would spare not his own son. Is that not just like God? To spare us and spare not himself. Grace is given, and a sacrifice is indeed provided, but it's provided only by God, only through God, only because of God's intervention, and only by his loving care. And it was not because Abraham took it into his own hands, but exactly the reverse. It's because he left it in God's hands. Folks, I have to tell you, we have lessons from Israel. Leave it in God's hands. We know who he is. He is faithful. And we may say, but this is the dearest on earth to me. This is that thing with which I was pinning all hopes of my future. This is all I have. This is everything. And God says, give everything to me. I am faithful. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. The promises of God repeated again, pointing us forward in time when Jew and Gentile alike would be blessed by Jesus Christ, who would be offered up and not spared, but indeed made the perfect sinless sacrifice for our sin. But we'll have to believe God. We'll have to believe God like Abraham. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. There's not enough time for a topic and a passage of scripture like this. There's too much here. There's too much to be known and too much to be seen and too much to be understood. And yet you've taught us a little this morning in this. And we'll need to look at it again, and we'll need to look at it again, and we'll need to be reminded, and we'll need to be reviewing what the New Testament says and reviewing what the Old Testament says. And all those things will be needed again for us. And yet, perhaps today, we have just seen enough from your word to remember you're faithful. And in whatever decision we have to make today, perhaps you'll remind us from this that we need to put our faith fully in you, no matter how dear the thing is to us that you have asked us to offer. Please help us to remember that you're faithful and you spared not your own son. In Jesus' name, amen.